Thank you very much, Ms. Garner. And I love listening to you sing. I'm always blessed. I think my favorite song, and I'm not just saying this because she sang, is I'd Rather Have Jesus, sang by Ms. Garner. And just a beautiful song. I want that sang. I don't know if this has any relevance, but at my funeral one day, if anybody hears at my funeral and it's not sang, you stand up and say, Brother Dolly wanted to hear that song. I'd Rather Have Jesus. I chose Jesus over the corporate world and got saved and in church about 15 years ago, and I have no regret. And I'm glad I'm here tonight, and I'm glad you're here tonight, and thank God for you. And I'm just excited about getting to preach. Find Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and stand if you would, please. And I admire singing so much because I was reminded Tuesday, I went to the retirement center and preached a little ministry for Brother Tom Davis and had a few elderly folks there, and no piano and no song leader except for me. And I made it through a few songs and had to work the rest of the time to get the spirit back in there. Had a good time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, Ecclesiastes is kind of a curious book, and this portion I'm about to read, these first eight verses, make you think, wow, maybe there is a time and place for everything, and we're so busy we just don't think we can fit it all in the day or night. And by the way, that song kind of gave the answer, and God placed it right before my preaching, because that is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And when I get to the end, I can't add to that. Jesus is the answer. And when you see in just a second my subject tonight, you'll understand that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon says, to everything there is a season, and to a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Look down at verse 17, and Solomon, in all his wisdom, I picture Solomon as maybe the Bill Gates or Warren Buffett of nowadays, had all this wisdom and all this money. And if you read through Ecclesiastes, Solomon just kind of played a big experiment to see if he could really dig out happiness in this world with things, with possessions. And he found out it was all vanity. All vanity. And he starts to summarize in verse 17 kind of what he mentions at the beginning of chapter 3. He says, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And I want to concentrate on those last few words. There is a time there for every purpose and for every work. How often, starts in the morning for me, we get confronted with doing right or doing another right or doing another right? Are we confronted with just a list of things that are all not sin? They're all good things to do. And how our day starts out, and we don't really know what to choose, and the evening comes and we're still confronted with this thing. I want to preach a message, and be more a teaching than preaching. It certainly wouldn't be a Sunday morning message, about choosing between right and right. Choosing between right and right. I'm not going to step on sins tonight. I might a little bit. But this is between choosing two good things. Or actually, most of our lives, if we're honest, probably we choose between three, four, five things that are right to do. That may be ministry, maybe family. Maybe it has to do with school. But we throw up our arms sometimes and say, well, there's not enough time. And according to Ecclesiastes, there's a time for every purpose under the heaven in verse 1. So consider that tonight, choosing between right and right. It's not going to be a message about right from wrong. And I thank God there's preaching on wrong. I remember back in May of 1995, I'm glad sin was preached. And this old sinner came forward for salvation. I'm glad wrong is preached. And I just rely on verses like James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we're going to leave right and wrong alone. This is a good crowd of folk tonight. Most of you know exactly what right and wrong is. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of that. But consider tonight choosing between right and right. And probably a lot more rights. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach. And don't take it lightly at all. It's Dr. Smith's pulpit. It's your pulpit. And Father, I just pray you'd bless the words and help me to be an encouragement to your dear people. God, help us to grow in grace. And Lord, just pray for results the invitation to follow in a moment. God, just have your will and way. I pray your Holy Spirit would move in hearts and convict, and just help me hide behind your grace now. In Christ's name, amen. Just as a way of introduction, I think in the bigger picture, and we certainly don't have time to scratch the surface tonight, is this big, ambiguous, elusive thing called balance in the Christian life. And I'm just captivated by it because I'm not good at it. And I would be willing to say, pick on you a little bit, I don't think anybody in here is perfectly balanced in everything they do. If you are, come see me after the service. You're going to sign my Bible by Jack Hiles, and I'm going to pray for you every day that I'll be like you. And I can find that perfect balance. That balance between family, that balance between work, that balance between church, that balance between something very important called our relationship with God and the Lord Jesus, and that balance between caring for myself, which we'll sometimes neglect. And all these things are right, but they don't seem to all fit in a normal day. Let's look at some things. I'd like to know how to balance my life better. And when we know to do right, we're confronted with a lot of rights. Well, just think of your Friday night or Saturday afternoon, probably the worst for me. I've got 10, 15, 20 rights to choose from. And my wife has even more around the house to choose from. So I just put them in a bowl and pick one almost, and they're all good. But in things in our life and our diet, if we could have balance and choose that which is right. In our budget, balancing a budget. All these things in life need balance, and they need our ability to choose right from right. Which is the best? Which is the right one to do? Not ironically, the best decision makers, spiritually speaking, are Christians that I like to watch. I like to follow. They have a joy, a happiness. They don't get down and off on a path. They have a balanced life. They have a family that's growing in the Lord, and they have some joy that's easy to spot, easy to see. And they're doing things for the Lord, and they're blessed. But you know, we're all screaming for more time. I'd fill up a 25-hour day. I'd fill up a 30-hour day, and you would too. I'd fill it up with some more sleep, amen. And I need some more sleep at night. But we'd find a way to fill it. My Friday night comes, and maybe there's a family gathering. It'd be a good thing to do. Maybe a church activity that night. You know, maybe I'd just like to stay home and exercise. Not bad to take care of ourselves every once in a while. Maybe a date with my spouse. Thought you'd do that. Not frequent enough. Maybe take care of the yard. And sometimes it likes a little attention. All these things are right, but how do you choose? How do you choose? And then not get discouraged when you don't fulfill the rest of them. That happens to us. Well, Saturday afternoon comes, it's even worse. I mean, we're confronted with birthday parties, anniversaries, weddings. We're confronted at a big church with ministry, writing Sunday school lessons, all these things. Maybe working, overtime, you name it. We're confronted with them. Questions get harder, though. Questions get harder, and I don't have the answer. Let me just give you a disclaimer. I do not have the answer to the hard questions of life when choosing right from right get really difficult. And it's one thing to choose between a birthday party and pulling weeds out of the yard, but it's a whole other thing when a wife wants to attend church and the husband says no. And she's caught in between obeying her husband and obeying the Lord and being in church. That's not easy. And I don't have the answer. I beg you to get on your knees before God, to seek counsel when those things come up. A person that's required to work on Sunday. Well, you know what the Bible says about not working? It says you're an infidel and you're just that. And you shouldn't eat. But oh, it's a good thing to be in church too, right? Two rights. Well, how do you choose? We probably have half that say one thing, half that say another. And every man has to make his own mind up according to the way the Lord leads them on these things. Should children do homework at night? Or something with their family? Do something with dad? These things are both right. What about overtime versus family time? Folks, most people in here need some overtime, need the extra work, and that's not wrong at all. But what about that family that's suffering? Well, they're both right. What about seeking medical treatment for something when you have to give up a ministry? Is ministry right? Yes, it is. Is taking care of yourself right? You better believe it. Better believe it. So I don't have the answers, but I know the Bible does, and I know Jesus has the answer. Let me give you a few big statements just to kind of kick off here. This will not be the body of the message, but just to get you thinking. First of all, God designed us to succeed perfectly. He didn't design a part of us to succeed. He didn't design just our work life or just our ministry. He designed us to succeed. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right. We're pretty incredible, made in His image. Now, because of sin, we fell, and now we are in the place where we have to seek and search out His will and by faith live. But listen, He made us to obey in all things. And the Bible never contradicts itself. And these are wonderful, big concepts. And they'll keep you from getting discouraged when you try to see the big picture and see how we can succeed. The problem is, well, I'm the problem. We procrastinate. Now, we're lazy. We have poor character in areas. And these things just bog us down. And not knowing how to make the right decision, we'll make the wrong decision. Or we'll make the right decision on something a lot less significant than something we should have made the right decision and done. Here's another big statement. Don't argue with me. There's exactly enough time in the day to accomplish God's perfect will in every area of life. Doesn't seem like it, does it? I'll just be honest. I don't know about you. I think a good time with the Lord is a couple hours. Do I spend that much every day with the Lord? No. And probably most of you don't. It's hard to do. And I think putting in a good long day on the job and time with my children every night and more devotion at night, all these things. But God built us He built us to succeed, and He gives us enough time in the day to accomplish His perfect will in our life. And that means in our relationship with Him, with our spouse, children, everything. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit." And spirit, both of those. And in your body, I guess that would mean where your body's at, what it's doing, what it looks like. So there's exactly enough time in the day if God puts verses like this in the Bible and says, by the way, we're His. It's a wicked thought, and I hate hearing this, and I'll argue it, when somebody says you've got to choose. It's a wicked thought when someone says you've got to choose between ministry or your family. No, you don't. God never ordained failure in any of those parts of life. And to choose between your job or church, no. You don't have to make those choices. God wants you to succeed in all of them. So there's exactly enough time in the day to accomplish God's perfect will. And the third thing, oh, this one's frustrating. God doesn't give us specific answers. He doesn't lay it out before us. You know, I'd like Brother Carlos a 3x5 every morning of exactly what to do. And boy, that'd be neat. Yeah, wave your fans, amen. I would like that because I don't have enough faith. And I'm not close enough to God to know just what to do. And wouldn't that be nice? And boy, spend exactly an hour and 10 minutes, read this, this, and this, now pray, and now be at work, and this and that, do this, and talk to this person, and witness to that person. Wow, because we can shut the Holy Spirit down, and our days can be a mess. God doesn't give that. That's called walking by faith, His plan, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, and not by sight." Proverbs 4:11 says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths." God will lead us if we'll get close enough to Him to follow Him. A lot of us are frustrated, and we don't know how to choose what to do, and we'll start neglecting areas and things. We just aren't close enough to God to discern His will, to hear that still small voice, to know the way the Spirit is dealing with us. God doesn't give us the exact answers. Boy, I'd like it if He would sometime. He wants us to apply His wisdom and the principles of this book and apply them and bring Him glory through our lives. Now, a couple of things, and the first one will be the most important, just ways to choose right from right. You're confronted with doing several good things. What do you do first? Number one, do what's commanded. Just do what's commanded. Well, it takes, you don't even have to pray about it. Just do what's commanded. The Bible's got a lot of commands. We think of pray, tithing, church. There's a lot more than that. There's train up a child in the way he should go. That's commanded. There's work. We already talked about work. And the Bible just says in several places, I've ran the references, you shouldn't eat if you don't work. Those things are commanded. It's commanded to take care of your helpmate. It's commanded to study to show thyself approved. It's commanded to tithe. Tithing to me comes easy because I don't think about it. I just do it. Oh, my old flesh says, well, your air conditioner went out in your car last week. But I've got to die to that flesh, and you got to obey God. It's not that hard to do what's commanded. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." That'll keep you on a schedule. It'll keep you where you need to be, and it'll take up a lot of your time. But you will know where you need to be. All these things, work, church, prayer, witnessing, tithing, these things are just commanded. And you can pray for God to bless them, but don't pray, "God, should I do them?" That's a wasted prayer. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to do what God commanded. Now these things, birthday parties, vacations, which are very good, not sinful at all, exercising, hunting, I'd get that in there, And with deer season approaching, dates with your wife, very good thing. Keep you in good stead with the wife, and hobbies, television. These things in and of themselves, if they're used right, are not wrong. They're not sin, but they're not commanded. They are not commanded. Do what's commanded first. And it's amazing. God wants you to live a blessed and enjoyable, happy life. You'll find time to do these other things. Schedule things commanded of you first in these areas. And you'll see, one of my favorite verses, let all things be done decently and in order. Schedule all the things commanded, and your life will sort of take on an order. And you'll know what to expect day to day, quite a bit of the time. God's commandments, I love this, never conflict. They never conflict with each other. They just don't. That would be confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. And He's the author of peace. And I believe all His commandments can be done, and that's our job as Christians, to seek and ask His grace to do them. I was in the bus ministry 4 years as a captain. I loved it. Oh, I loved it. And missed the days of being a captain. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was very instructional in learning to follow commandments of God in ministry and to be at a certain place at a certain time. See, in the bus ministry, you get this accountability with kids this tall that have memories much better than older folks' memories. And that first flyer you forget to put on a door on Saturday comes around to haunt you on Sunday afternoon with a call from a mad mom. And you know what? That next Saturday when you make a visit, Robert's shaking his head. And that next Saturday when you forgot to go buy a house or didn't pick up a child, listen, that keeps you very accountable. And you don't want a mean mom dealing with you on a bus route. And I learned the bus ministry was a great thing to help me mature and just learn to do what's commanded. In the ministry of the bus ministry, to be on time, be where I need to be on Saturday, Sunday, in preparation and praying for those bus kids. And it sure helps. What makes a successful financial budget? Just do what's commanded in your budget. Let it drive you. And what makes a failure in a budget? You decide, well, we blew that this month, and well, we're just not going to be able to handle that. And, well, we're going to go ahead and take a vacation even though it wasn't budgeted. Do what's commanded by a budget and in other areas of life. So first, do what's commanded. Secondly, how do you choose between right and right? Take a long-term approach. Take a long-term approach to things. Look out beyond yourself, beyond the next few hours, tomorrow, and take a look down the road of your life. If Jesus tarries, there's a lot of years before us. And you know what? We're a very, very short-term focused people. And the things of society have made us very short-term focused, everywhere from the credit we can get instantly, from communications instantly, and food instantly, all these things. And here's the problem. Listen, if I make one important statement tonight, that's not scripture, but it's very important. Listen, all these things, I believe, have helped America to become non-thinkers. It's taking our thinking away from us. All the fast conveniences, and all the modernities and all these things. We don't think and plan and plot and think through strategies. We just want. And that gets us in trouble. We say, well, that's not sin, but we've never thought through it. We've never thought down long term what may be the end result. But it was right. It wasn't sin. Well, a lot of things aren't sin. But you know what? There's a thing that God commands and wants you to do to be in His perfect will. You've got to come up with that in your mind. God's permissive will is wonderful. Folks, you're looking at His permissive will a lot of the time, probably. But He's got a perfect will, and that's where His blessing and the richness and the umbrella of His grace and these things. Take a long-term approach. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1, and there's so much to preach in this verse. We'll just look at the end of it and kind of grab a thought. Hebrews 12, 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And here it is, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. A lot of us like to be that 50-yard sprinter or that 100-yard sprinter. But we get done and we're tired and we're wore out, so we'll give up this right thing to do and we'll give up that and we'll get discouraged. We're not in the marathon of life. We're not in the long term. We're not looking down the road at what God wants to do with us. Paul had a good long-term strategy. Paul could look out and say some things that are pretty bold and pretty life-encompassing. He said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He, Lord Jesus, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was looking down the road. He was looking at the reward one day. He was looking at Christ. And it was better for him to be with Christ, he said. We've got to understand our flesh. You know what our flesh wants? Instant gratification. The way it wants to be stroked, it wants to be pleased. We're depraved, we're carnal, selfish, greedy, all these things. And we've just got to take Scripture and apply it. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. You start your day off, what's commanded? Then what's down the road? These decisions, how are they going to affect other decisions? How does it fit together? We're a short-term society. The stock market is now, it's by the second. It used to be long-term investing was a pretty good way to do it. And now it's day traders, instant trading, and all of this. Everything's brought into instance. And we can't think. We can't plot out things and meditate and let the Lord deal with us over time when we're making decisions on the fly constantly. Here's some ideas. If two things are right, maybe do the one that's most pressing, the one with the most impact, the one that only you can do, just some things. Here's a statement. Do the right thing. Right, doing the right thing right now may allow you to do the second right thing later. So you can do something right, and it can get you in a lot of trouble. Not be sin in and of itself, but because you're out of God's will, it can take you further away from God's will and get you off the path that God wants you to be on. Folks, taking care of your health might ought to trump a lot of things and save a lot of medical bills and get you back on the right path. We don't like to slow down. We like to just push with little as sleep as possible and just go for it. It's okay. It's right to take care of our health. Preacher told us the other day that four of the five problems with the national health care is not just Obama maniac in office. It is that we don't take care of our diet and our health. And the four of the five largest reasons we have a health crisis in America is we don't have to look out there. It's our health. The way we don't take care of ourselves. Maybe, thinking about taking a long-term approach, you say, well, I can put off that time with my spouse. No, you can't. That's very important. You're one flesh. Spend that time with your spouse. I admire, man, I don't have this much character, but they put in their schedule a date. Why? Because they're taking a long-term approach. They want a marriage that grows and builds, and they're doing something. They're investing, long-term investing. A family vacation, amen. Kids, you already thinking about next year where to bug mom and dad to go? My kids are. Livy wants to go any place there's horses, so I'm just going to keep it close. We'll find some horses in Arlington. And Luke, who knows? But you know what? A family vacation. That might be a very important thing you need to get on the agenda and do. And it's the right thing to do. A time of prayer and fasting. Not always the most popular thing to do, but it might be the right time. You've got a big job decision, and you've got a big decision in life, a big health need. Who knows, a big change in job, maybe losing a job, a little prayer and fasting. Maybe what's required. Take a long-term approach, maybe a big purchase. Maybe you need to wait. And I'm looking at our automobiles, they're getting older. And I'm looking at the year ahead, trying to take a long-term approach. Is it right to try to keep your family in a good automobile? Yes. Is it right thing to do tomorrow? Well, maybe not. Maybe not. You've got to look at these things and take a long-term approach. The last thing here, and we'll be done, is don't focus on yourself so much. If we just focus on ourselves, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. Just a great, great exhortation to where we need to keep our eyes. A little acrostic, if you've never seen it, is joy. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. Keep it in that order, and it makes it a lot easier to choose right from right. Because, boy, I can do a lot of things for myself. But Sam, I haven't played golf in probably 9 months. I need to go play golf. Amen. I knew he'd amen me on that. And but you know what? I've got a family that maybe hadn't seen me as much that week. And I've got a Lord that I haven't spent the time with that week that I need to. Or I've got someone I need to go see. Am I saying, don't focus so much on yourself. We've got a lot of needs. All I have to do is go in my bathroom and see my wife's got a lot of needs. She always needs a new curling iron and always a new hair dryer. And always make up for this, and foot massager, I don't even know what she calls it, but a lot of needs, and we got to look other places. Oh, I'm picking on her. I'm glad she's here tonight, and thank you all for praying for her as she's approaching 7.5 months with the little one. But we've got to focus on others. The real joy in Christian service is not what we can do for ourselves, but what we can do for others. And let God use us and work through us. And you say, well, it's just hard. There's not enough time. Well, try combining some things together. Do I do right or right put them together. And many times my wife have made a visit for a Sunday school and combined a date, combined a dinner, and it works out great. You can do two things. What about your dinner time? We always talk about the Lord and character and what's happened during the day and combine those things. What about combining a vacation with maybe a spiritual retreat to somewhere? You can do both. We've done that. And there's a lot of ways that you can keep from focusing on yourself. And I just believe when you do what's commanded and you take a long-term approach and just keep it off of yourself, that things start to make more sense. And we won't have the answer to every question. I certainly don't. And you probably won't either. But things start to become more clear. And I know that. I do some things with Luke on Saturday morning. I'll bring him up and we'll go through the prayer meeting and we'll go out soul winning together and he'll always get a donut. If I'm not watching Brother Todd, he'll get two or three donuts and a big thing of milk and he likes that. That's probably his goal there. But good soul winning partner. We're spending time together. We're bonding. And we just have a good Saturday morning together. And I'm trying to combine things because I wake up and say, I don't have enough time to do everything. But I believe God has a perfect will for our lives and we can accomplish everything that he wants us to accomplish. Just some final words here. Have some grace in your schedule and don't get so rigid. You're going to make mistakes and you're going to find out, well, that was the wrong thing to do. And you know what? You've got to realize that today's failure may be a learning lesson for tomorrow. And maybe just use it as that instead of getting down, discouraged. America's depressed, folks. I saw in the news yesterday, 27 million Americans are on depression medication. And you know what? We get down. And I'm pretty hard on myself. I know I'm not what I need to be as a Christian. I know I fall far, far short. I can look at every area and see where I fall far short. But we can't get down, and we've got to run the race with patience. If we do what's commanded and take that long-term approach, it sure helps. Hey, another thing, don't worry about what others think of you. Your decision between right and right is going to be a lot different from somebody else's. It'll be different from your spouse's. They're not going to understand why you do God's commandments. Brother Todd said it tonight about offering. My family, outside of my immediate family, wouldn't understand why I give and tithes and offering. But he made this comment at teacher's meeting tonight. He said he'd rather give to the Lord than put food in his kid's mouth. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Let you chew on that a second. He said because he didn't want the wrath of God on him. He knows he can pray to God to take care of those kids, and God will. But he knows he can't go to God and say, well, God, I fed them first, and I held back your tithe. And I don't care about increasing the storehouse. That's a real problem. I don't want to be the one that prays that prayer. And remember Ananias and Sapphira. But don't worry about what others think. Hey, God's ways are not our ways. And we can't understand His ways. What He commands doesn't always look right in the world's eyes. Giving in tough times. That'd be the last thing I'd give up in these times is my giving. I'd be scared to death what God might do and strike me down, because I know it's commanded, and I know it's right. And I don't need to argue with God over it. It's commanded, I just need to do it. Here's another thing. Well, we'll fall into this trap, and this is an easy trap to fall into. It's a whole lot easier to scrutinize somebody else's decisions than our own. It's a whole lot easier to critique somebody else's balance in life and say, wow, you see what they did? It's happened to all of us. As soon as you see somebody that doesn't show up at a church function, the first thing you're going to say is, well, they just don't care about the ministry. And you have no idea what they're going through, and financially, and their marriage, and who knows their health. You have no idea. And your job's not to choose right from right for somebody else. And I have enough problem choosing right from right for Cliff Donnelly. I don't need to look at others. But be careful. Learn to pray for others. Can I just throw that in there? Learn to pray for others. You'll do them a great service. They'll feel your prayers, and they'll know you've been praying for them. And prayer is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. And in fact, it's a wonderful thing to do when any time you run into problems, you want to run your mouth, just pray. Pray for that person that God will enlighten them and give them wisdom. Lastly, start where you're at today. You say, well, I make a mess of my life. I'm not serving God like I need to. I'm short in this area. I don't spend enough time with my kids. I spend way too much time on my job. I can't be in this ministry. Get back to the basics. Get back to doing what's commanded and get back to taking a long-term approach and seeing how your decisions today, tomorrow, affect down the road. And look at others. And kids, this message is for you. If you start young, you learn God's commandments, learn the Ten Commandments, learn these things, and then you just make them part of your life. It's a lot easier than getting saved at age 23 and then learning to tithe. Trust me, it's a lot easier. Learn them young and start to do them young. And teenagers, you need to start making convictions your own convictions. And you need to start putting these things in your life. Maybe start living by schedule. Maybe seek counsel. And young adults, you ought to be living by schedule. And you ought to be looking long term, looking out past. You know, when you're 10, 11 years old, maybe you don't know what you're going to be doing the next few years of your life. But when you're 20, 25, you ought to have some idea and some direction to help you make decisions, help you make the right decisions. And adults, we've got the hard job. We're the role model for the others coming up. The generations behind us that are coming up, they're watching us. And they're watching how we balance our lives. And my two kids are watching how Daddy balances his time with them, his time at church, his time in the ministry, his time with God in the morning. What's a scary thing when you're praying in the morning or something, you don't know, and your child is watching you, and you just hope you're not asleep at that moment. Kids are watching. And they're learning from us how to balance their lives, and we need to be a good example for them and be the role model for them. Choosing between right and right is loaded with ups and downs. It gets frustrating. And again, my Saturday afternoon is crazy some days. I've got more things to choose from than I know what to do. What I found is one of the best things to do is nothing. Just have a breather and just spend some time. Just, God, I'm not going to do anything. That's not sin. Just deal with me and give me a good afternoon. And I've had some wonderful times just spending time with doing nothing. Doesn't happen very often, by the way. But it gets frustrating, and this is something we all deal with. It feels like there's never enough time, and we always seem to be disappointing somebody because we're worried about what others think. When we don't make their party or we don't make that anniversary, we've got to be judged by the Lord and this Word and not worry about what others think. Amen. Choosing between right and right is a tough thing. Amen. Remember these things. Do what God's commanded you to do. Keep a long-term approach. And don't focus too much on yourself. Paul seemed to be able to do this. He made some great statements. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, but my God shall supply all your need, not wants, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That word all. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. Everything. He pondereth it all. Everything I do, every thought, every action, He pondereth. And what we can tie it all together with, for all things work together for good. For all things. Your good experiences, your bad experiences. The right decision, the wrong decision. Let it work together for good to them that love God. And that's the people of God. That's you tonight. Here's a wise saying. I'll end with this. A good Christian said, being a good Christian does not take a lot of your time. It takes all your time. Because you're bought with a price. And therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit. You're not on furlough at any time in your life. You're God's. And boy, it's a moment-by-moment thing to walk with Him, and it's a beautiful walk. It's the walk I desire all the time. The walk we need to get back to. The walk where you need to look in your own life tonight and see where I'm at in deciding between right and right. And ask the question, I can do all things through Christ. Do you believe God? You can do all things. You can balance that busy day. God didn't make you to fail in any area. Made you succeed in all areas. And that's just an exciting truth. It's exciting to know that there's enough time in the day to accomplish God's perfect will. And it's a walk by faith. It's a walk by faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it all ties together, folks. And when you're weak in one area, the other areas suffer as well. When you let your relationship with God become not what it should be, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids, your actions on the job, everything will be affected. And when you have that strong walk with God, it helps everything. Folks, I'm just a pretty plain person. When I spend time with the Lord in the morning and have a good time of prayer and have a good cup of coffee, amen, and get to read a lot of my Bible, boy, the day goes good. You're more resilient. You have the Spirit maybe on you, and you can handle things better. And things don't disappoint you. And you want to spend time with your kids. And you want to tell your spouse you love her. You want to serve God because you have that relationship. And can I say, when you neglect another area, you neglect your job, soon all the prayer in the morning won't help you if you're going to be lazy and not work. And you're out of balance. All these things. I could go on and on and on. But choosing between right and right, it's a daily challenge, a daily struggle. I'm glad we have the Lord daily. I'm glad that He's with us and He's there to help us. Pray. Lord, thank You for the time. And dear God, I pray as we get ready for an invitation, You'd just deal with hearts in a way that I don't know. And God, you've dealt with my heart preparing the message, and the many, many areas of my life I fail you. And Lord, I just pray for the people of God tonight. I pray if there's one here lost without Christ, they would come to this altar and would just confess their sins and get saved. Trust Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for all the others that have listened to the words of the Bible tonight. And Lord, that you just bring conviction. Help us, Lord, in the daily task, from the time we wake to the time we bed our head at night, making decisions. Help us to know your will, how to get that relationship with you. And God, we just pray for results in lives now. In Jesus' name, I ask you to stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, and the music will begin. We'll have a short invitation. And just trust that God has spoken to you tonight.